Hello. Hey.
Welcome back to This Week in Channel 9.
Yes. Sorry about that.
I'm Christina Warren.
I'm Brian Liston.
And we're back again at Bellevue Brewing Company.
Lovely Bellevue Brewing Company.
It is those dog days of summer. It's like late August. It is middle of August,
you know,
I guess.
I'm gonna be honest. You mentioned this last week. I don't know what dog days are, and I just smiled and nodded and pretended that I did. So what are dog days of summer?
The dog days of summer, everything's slow. Everyone's on vacation, so stuff is happening at a little bit lighter pace.
That makes a lot more sense because there are a lot of people out of the office right now.
Yeah, a lot of people are out of the office. You might be on vacation. We hope you're enjoying a brew with us. But we do have some news that we want to talk about this week.
Let's do it. Let's get right into it.
So first things first, .NET Core 2.0 was released.
Yep, we talked about this last week.
Yeah, we talked about it last week. But this week, Scott Hunter and members of the .NET team have created videos right here on Channel 9.
Yes.
Where you can see everything that's new in .NET 2.0.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Head to Channel 9, check out the content. If you want to get a more in-depth view of what exactly was in the .NET Core 2.0 release, you can check that out there. One thing you may also have noticed is the ASP .NET Core 2.0 release was also released last week.
That's great to know.
Yeah.
That's great to know. Other things that have happened this week is that, you know, back in May, Visual Studio 2017 was released, a big update.
Yes.
And already updates to Visual Studio 2017 have been released based on your user voice suggestions.
And I love this because what it shows is that we're actually taking your feedback, just like we're doing for these shows. We're actually listening to the community and taking the feedback that they want and putting that into the products. And this ties really well into things on user voice or even our open source projects on GitHub. Don't be afraid to send us feedback. We love it.
No, definitely give us feedback because as you can see, already changes are happening based on that feedback. Speaking of cool things, you know, now that, you know, if you got, it is the end of summer, but there's still some time left. There's the .NET Summer Hackathon, Hackfest 2017. We want to give a shout out to this, to John Galloway in the comments last week.
Speaking of feedback,
he gave us, he let us know about this. Last week in the comments, the last 2-week sprint, if you want to kind of join this open source summer camp using .NET stuff, starts on Monday, August 21st.
So get to it.
Get to it. You can join the team. And it's basically kind of, if you have been wanting to contribute to an open source project and you've never done it before,
now's the time.
This is a great opportunity, especially if you're a .NET person.
Yeah, now's the time.
Other cool stuff.
Yes.
So talk to me a little bit about this. There's the Azure Event Grid.
Absolutely. So we just recently launched the Azure Event Grid. And Azure Event Grid is really cool because it ties into this new concept of event-driven computing. The ability to respond to an actual event, such as creating a resource group or an Azure subscription, and running code inside something like Azure Functions or Logic Apps. And it really hones in on the whole serverless revolution and event-driven computing and just responding to events as they happen. It's fantastic. You should definitely check it out.
That's great. So check that out. Other cool things happening this week. So Corey Sanders wrote that blog post. He also wrote this one, which is how you can manage your resources with Azure Cloud Shell.
Yeah. So if you're not familiar with our Azure Cloud Shell, you should definitely check it out. There's a drop down right at the top of the screen inside the portal. And what it does is it takes you right in to a Linux terminal inside the Azure portal where you can manipulate and manage your infrastructure and resources. It's this fantastic utility. It doesn't require you to have to download a terminal locally on your computer. You can even use it from your phone.
That's very cool.
It's amazing.
And that's a perfect segue because one of the other things we have going on this week is Xamarin University has a webinar about how to develop your .NET skills on the desktop onto mobile.
And move them to mobile.
I love this because a lot of people are, even though mobile has been happening for a long time, if you're a hardcore desktop developer, you might be like, well, what am I going to do?
Or you might be afraid, right?
That's what I'm saying. You might be afraid. You're like, I don't know how I can bring my skills and hone them on. But Xamarin will let you use a lot of that same code, a lot of those same practices. And so take this webinar and see like how you can use what you're already doing on the desktop to build iOS and Android apps.
It's fantastic. This one I love.
Yeah, this is really cool. So the Windows blog has a conversation with a mixed reality expert, Lucas Rizzotto. And I would really like this because mixed reality, you know, with HoloLens.
It's becoming so big, too.
It's becoming huge. As we said last week, it's kind of the new hotness. And this was a really interesting interview that you should check out if you're interested in getting into mixed reality, because this is a person who hadn't actually coded before.
Yeah.
And now he's building mixed reality apps. What I really thought was interesting, because we're both kind of into audio and filmmaking stuff, was he talked about building spatial audio for these mixed reality experiences. It's not just about the code, it's not just about the gestures.
And it's not about the visuals,
it's
too.
You need the audio. You need
the
audio is such a core part of these mixed reality experiences because being able to hear cues and know when you pick
something
up.
It's a completely different experience. I mean, it's like watching TV on mute. Like, it's kind of boring. Maybe closed captioning is cool, but having the audio cues the brain, the memory, everything is built off of smell, based on sound, and based on sight, right?
Yeah, it does, and it makes a totally different experience. But if you're interested in kind of getting into mixed reality, check out that blog post.
Absolutely.
Because this is a cool interview. This, though, I love this. So last week here in Seattle.
Oh, this is one of my favorites.
Was the huge Dota 2 tournament that the Valve team had.
This was like two blocks from my house, by the way, so there were a lot of gamers walking around.
I was going to say, what was traffic like for you? That had to have been a little bit of
Well, I don't drive because it's Seattle and you would be committing
suicide. Well, how was food traffic like?
It was bad. I mean, it was definitely bad.
But speaking of, but during the Dota 2 tournament, Elon Musk and his AI group, OpenAI, basically created a bot built on Microsoft Azure that was able to defeat.
It was amazing. Able to defeat the Dota 2 player. Like, Azure, AI. AI is becoming a thing. It is here. It's here to stay. And I mean, this is proof of
this
it.
What I love about this is how, you know, they didn't think going into this that they would be able to be this successful this quickly.
Yeah.
And this kind of shows the power of how, if you read their blog post that we've got linked, there's some really interesting details about how they were able to train using Azure and how they were able to train the models and get things working headless. They're really interesting.
It kind of reminds me of the original days, back in the day, this is aging us here, when they did the chess against, IBM, right?
When IBM was first doing that, and now, I thought that this would be a couple of years before we would see this sort of AI power, and
it's insane.
That it happened, we're already here.
Cloud computing really basically allows that to happen.
Right, that's the only way they were able to really, you know, speed up and get up to date. You know, they thanked Azure on stage, so that was really cool. Speaking of really cool things, and speaking of great content here on Channel 9, our friend Seth Juarez has an amazing interview with security expert Troy Hunt.
Absolutely fantastic. Check this out. Troy Hunt's down in Australia.
Yep.
Seth went down to Australia, did a little bit of water skiing. Make sure you watch the entire video because there's some really funny outtakes at the very end. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but Seth gets wet.
Okay, so you have to watch the whole video, but also Troy Hunt, who's just a great security expert, you know, he does Have I Been Owned, maintains a big database that helps a ton of people. So if you have ever kind of received an email or if your credentials were stolen someplace, he's doing, you know, like Yemen's work, right?
Absolutely.
Like he's doing the great stuff.
Go to Have I Been Pwned. If you want to check to make sure that your email address and your password haven't been leaked in one of the many, many, many password leaks that have happened over the last couple of years, go to this site that Troy built, Have I Been Pwned. And just type in your email address.
And read his blog, too. His blog
his
is
blog
really
is
good.
Fantastic.
Have you guys been
pwned? I have not. I might have been.
I have. An Adobe leak a couple years back and a PlayStation leak, too. There have been a number of them.
Yeah.
But that's why I use unique passwords every website.
I think it was my
website.
Original PlayStation account from, you know, 1934.
Right. Also, speaking of Channel 9 content, talk to us about this because there's a great interview of building Visual Studio Code extensions.
Yes. So I love this content. It's brand new last week. And it's talking about, as you said, building Visual Studio Code extensions. One of the nice parts about Visual Studio Code is you do have the ability to build extensions. And then the other nice part, Visual Studio is open source.
Yeah, we talked about this last week.
Yes.
So you can contribute your extensions back to the community.
Exactly. You can also contribute changes into the actual product if you want. And what I really like about this is because Visual Studio Code is on GitHub, this ties really well into our next story where just recently, GitHub announced that they have moved their entire infrastructure into Kubernetes.
And so tell me about why this is cool. Why does this matter?
It's beyond cool. You definitely need to check out the article. We'll have a link inside the comments here. This is really cool because it allows companies to move quickly. It's really diving into that container revolution. Help me out here.
Revolution. The container revolution. Everything is containerized.
Yes. This is not beer related. I just can't speak today. It allows companies to iterate faster and make change quicker and test out things, do A/B testing with individual customers. It's fantastic. Read the article. It goes into their original architecture.
Yeah, I thought that was what was really interesting is to kind of see about what their process was for moving from Capistrano and what they were using with their older Ruby setups to using Kubernetes. Even though I didn't understand everything they were saying, I loved reading about that process. And I love it when companies kind of highlight what it's taken, because then if you've got to go through those same sorts of infrastructure changes yourself, you have a good idea of what you're going through.
It's a fantastic thing. If you're going through an infrastructure change and it's not something that's under NDA and you can share it with the community, give back. Like, I mean, GitHub's whole personality and reason of existence is open source, right?
Absolutely. It's all about giving back and sharing, forking everybody.
So if you can show people your transition and your your drive from one place to another.
Nice save there.
Yeah, it's terrible. But we'll continue on to the next story.
All right, no,
this is so good.
This is so good. Okay, so we have picks of the week every week.
Every week.
But we had to, we had the same pick of the week. It's so cool that we both had to choose it.
Everybody that's watching is probably going to pick this too, I hope.
Yeah, I would hope so. So this is the 30th anniversary of HyperCard.
My favorite thing in the world.
This makes me feel so old though. So
never thought about that.
30 years ago, HyperCard came into existence, and I don't know about you, when I was like in elementary school, I would use HyperCard to build like proto web pages. This is before you could build web pages, so this is really cool.
So when I was in middle school, we had to build, so pre-PowerPoint, we had to build presentations using HyperCard.
Yeah, we would do that too.
But we would do these visual ones where like you had to walk around rooms and like you'd click here to go into another room and like choose your own adventure PowerPoint presentation. So anyway, HyperCard 30th anniversary.
But what's amazing about this is that the Internet Archive, Jason Scott and friends have put HyperCard on the Internet Archive so you can play with it in your browser.
Yes.
So if you're not old like us and if you don't remember what HyperCard was like, or if you do and you just want to go back to those days, there's a huge HyperCard archive.
Yes.
It's being maintained by a volunteer. It's so cool. I love preserving of software. I think it's so important. You know, Internet Archive has done it with DOS stuff. They've done it with Mac games. They've done it with Amiga stuff, Commodore stuff.
Did you also know that if you have an existing HyperCard stack sitting somewhere on a floppy disk, that you can upload it and they'll make it available on the web?
Oh, that's fantastic. I love this. Like I said, this is like preserving tech for the next generation, and I hope that this whole new wave of apps, like I can't wait until in 30 years we have mixed reality HoloLens apps that are going to be
Internet Archive of this show.
Exactly.
Mixed reality.
All right. Well, but I think, you know what, that's basically
that's really
it.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us this week. I hope you guys enjoyed, and cheers.
Cheers.
Once again, coming to you live from Bellevue Brewing.
Thanks so much.